June 15, 1990. This is Ruth Hendrickson interviewing Mary Eva Greenfield. So we'll just talk.
Right.
Did your family live in this area?
I've lived here all my life. I was born down the road on Old Joppa Road.
Is that where your family lived?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. My father had a farm there.
Oh, that's neat.
And I was one of 8 children. We grew up on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I married, my husband grew up back here, back of us. And so we got this piece of land and built a house on it. So we were next to his folks and pretty close to my folks.
Did you two go to school together?
No, because he went to Blair and I was in the First District and I went to Old Post Road.
Oh, okay.
So we were different.
Okay.
There.
Did it look pretty much like this when you were growing up as a kid?
Right here, because of course we're opposite this big farm.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not many changes in this particular area. The St. Albans Church across the road used to be a two-room schoolhouse.
Oh.
And it was on the opposite side of the road, back of what is now the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And my husband went to school there. Everybody around here went to school there for the first 7 grades. And then my daughter, who was born in 1941, went to fourth grade there.
Oh, my.
Before they closed it. Hmm. And then she went on into Bel Air.
Hmm.
And the Seventh-day Adventist folks bought the school to start a church. And then they built a brick church in front of it, and they started a day school there. But then they outgrew the day school and they wanted to build a new one. So they offered to give that away for $1 if it could be moved.
Hmm.
So Dr. Howard and the folks across the road gave the piece of ground for it and they moved it over here.
Oh, is that
and me? Made St. Albans Anglican Church out of it.
Well, do you remember them moving it?
Oh, yes.
Yes, they had, quite a sight.
They had the gas and electric people here, you know, to put the lines up and all that sort of thing.
It was quite an
undertaking and quite a feat.
I'm sure. Well, it must have been fun to watch.
That. It was. We enjoyed it very much.
Well, how did you start with all these flowers?
Well, about 20 years ago, a couple youngsters moved next door. And just little fellows, though. One was 8 months old and the other one was 3. And that hedgerow over there was full of poison oak and honeysuckle and so forth. And when I'd take the little ones out to get the mail, I was always so afraid of them getting poison oak that I thought, well, I've got to clean this up around this mailbox. Well, I cleaned it up, planted flowers. And then in 1973, my mother came to live with me. She was an invalid. She couldn't get up out of a chair or anything by herself. And I would comment on my flowers, how pretty they were around the house. Mm-hmm. Well, she couldn't see them. So then she sat in a chair there where she could look out the front door. So then I started putting flowers all down the road so she could sit there.
Oh, what a
it.
Nice idea.
So then every year I'd work both ways, a little bit both ways, you know, until I got the whole row done.
Did you get any help?
No.
Do you think you'll do it forever?
As long as the good Lord lets me stay here.
Are they all perennials?
No, I have to add some annuals, but most of them are perennials. That's a backbone of
it. That makes it easier, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they still have to be weeded.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the other thing is, with perennials, they self-seed, many of them,
mm-hmm.
or run rampant, one or the other, and you do have to be firm with them. And move them to places where you need them, where you have a hole or something.
Yeah.
You need them.
How much time does that take?
I'm out there almost every day. Almost every day. And what I usually try to do is work in the morning, 3 or 4 hours in the morning, particularly this time of year before it gets too hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I work down one way, and then I work down the other way, and then it's time to start all over again.
Do you ever have anybody come by and decide they want to pick them or take them out? Or
I haven't seen it much lately, but there for a while, I'd see it ever so often, and it would hurt me.
Oh, sure.
Because, of course, they don't just pick. They pull, and they pull up roots and all.
Yeah.
And that's not nice.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite flower?
Oh, no. I like them all. The daffodils in the spring are just breathtaking. The larkspur that's out there right now.
Oh, those are beautiful.
With the daisies and the yellow are so pretty.
Is that what made you decide to open a flower shop?
Well, I always worked on flowers around the house here. I didn't have mm-hmm. them across the road at that time, but I always worked them, had them around the house. In fact, the back half acre, I had that all in flowers. I had a whole garden, a row after row of them. And this was my husband's idea. He said, well, he said, if you want to work in flowers, he says, let's become a florist and make money at it.
Uh-huh.
So he really pushed me.
Uh-huh.
And I went downtown to a florist shop and worked for a few months, and then came up and started in a small way here. And then when we got the opportunity to move into Bel Air, Lee's florist, who had been on Main Street next to the old Cortland Hardware for many, many years, were going out of business. And their neighbor called me and said, why don't you all move in Bel Air? He said, you'd do much better up here. So we did. We moved into Bel Air. And we had a very successful small business.
What year was that?
58. I think about 58.
What was Main Street in Bel Air like then?
Oh, it was fun. You knew everybody. You'd walk up to the little grocery store, and you knew almost everybody that you saw. And they knew you, and it was just a nice small town.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember one time they were putting, they were digging along a sidewalk, apparently to put in some sort of a gas line or something. And one of my daughter's school teachers said, you know what they're doing up on Main Street? And she said, what? She says, they're getting ready to put zippers in there so they can close the town up at night. Because at one time the town was open like Friday and Saturday night till 9, usually closing at 6. And then they started closing Saturday early. And then they were open Thursdays and Friday nights, I think, to 9. But then otherwise they would close at 6. So after 6 o'clock, you know, it was a dead town.
Oh, that's funny.
But you know, nice.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, the fact that you knew practically everybody on the street, it was nice. That's where people used to go on the weekends to see people and, you know, to visit and
mm-hmm.
so forth.
Mm-hmm. What kind of businesses were there then that aren't there now?
Well,
of course, I guess the movie was real busy then, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then Cortland Hardware, of course, right there on Main Street. And across from that, Sears had their retail store, mail order store, really. And then Wynell's Beauty Shop. And then there was a dress shop, Tilly's Dress Shop, on the corner there. And John's Barber Shop was there. In fact, there was another barber shop across the street. And then down the middle of the main block, you had Preston's on the corner, and there was a eating place. I think there was a bowling alley under Preston's. And then there was a grocery store, Main Street Market. And then Woolworths, of course, was in the middle of the block.
Mm-hmm.
And then down towards the other end, the Acme
mm-hmm.
was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were some small shops. Hershey's, of course, which is still there,
mm-hmm.
was there at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just nice. It was just a nice small town. And
did most of the people that came to your shop or those shops live in Bel Air and walk, or were the people driving from all over to get there?
Oh, everybody came, you know, from all over the county, really. Particularly on the, you know, Friday and Saturday nights.
Mm-hmm.
They would come in the afternoon, and
mm-hmm.
and that was a big thing, mm-hmm. to come on into town.
Did you deliver?
Oh, yes, we delivered.
Did you?
We delivered all over the county.
Mm-hmm.
In our
were there many florist shops around in there?
Just Richardson's. And
that was
I.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Hmm. So you kept busy.
Right. Yeah, my husband and I mainly, we would have extra help just at the holiday time.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it was just he and I.
Mm-hmm.
And we thoroughly enjoyed that. The two of us working together, it was something that we enjoyed doing. We had a good marriage. And when the fire siren would go off, he'd run down the back lot and jump in the ambulance or the fire engine. And he was a great fireman. He had over 35 years in the fire company.
Oh, my. What did he do before you opened the florist shop?
He worked at Martin's. And then he worked for my dad, S.H. Anderson's, down on Route 40,
mm-hmm.
hardware store. And then he went back to Martin's. And I think he was working at Martin's when we started our business. And it was only a couple months when I said, you've got to quit. I need you more than than you're here. Usually he would come home and then go out and deliver. And then, of course, that wasn't satisfactory as our business grew.
So, and that had to be more fun working in the florist than the Martin's anyway.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. No, he never regretted working in the shop. The only thing was the holidays are terrific. And he had a nervous temperament, and the holidays just about, did him in, because you had to get so much done in such a short time and get it delivered and so forth. And when we decided to retire, he said, I wouldn't mind it if it weren't these holidays. He said, but I just can't take the holidays.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Fortunately, we were a shop that did not depend on the holidays to make our money. We had a steady bread and butter business, and we didn't need the holidays, but of course, you take them.
Well, sure.
That's just part of your
Your makeup. Do you see a big difference in the kind of flowers that were sold then, or the...
Yes, there are some things. They're bringing more lilies in. They bring some things in that I don't even know, because they're getting them from other parts of the world. And roses, so many of the roses are coming in from South America. And there's a lot of different varieties that, that didn't have.
How many of the flowers did you grow yourself?
We didn't grow anything.
You didn't buy everything you got from, where did you get it from, Baltimore?
Down wholesale houses on Calvert Street. Three or four of them were right down there on Calvert Street. And I would make the trip in my station wagon into Baltimore City at 6 o'clock in the morning and pick up my fresh flowers.
Did you go every day?
Almost every day. Almost every day. And then I'd come back and we'd be at the shop at 9 and ready to go to work.
Do you have any favorite stories of things that went wrong for flowers, or things you were supposed to do that were really strange? Did anybody ask for anything strange?
I can't think of anything offhand.
Nobody wanted something really outlandish?
Well, no, I just can't.
The weddings had to be fun.
Yeah, I always did enjoy doing weddings.
I'm sure.
I guess I was a little bit of a sentimentalist, and I always tried to do what the girls wanted, and I never had a complaint.
Well, that's good to say.
Never had a complaint. All the girls were always very, very well pleased with the wedding.
Well, that's
flowers.
Good. That's good.
That made us feel good.
Oh, I'm sure. That had to be the most fun, I would think.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's such a special day for everybody. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what do you remember about being a little kid around here that maybe kids today wouldn't even think about? Kids today on a hot day like this will be inside watching TV. I'm sure you didn't do that.
No. I can remember as a little one, and how old, I don't know, maybe 8, 10, laying under a great big shade tree in our backyard and thinking, gee whiz, isn't it ever gonna cool? I can remember that. I remember being a water boy. My dad had a farm, and it went straight back, and he'd be out with the horses and so forth, and after a while he'd need water. We didn't have a lot of thermos jugs and things like that, you know. And he would call, and you'd hear that, water boy. And I was around. Usually then I fixed some cold water and took the water out to Dad. And I can remember that. I don't know why I did it, because I had brothers. Now, where they were at that time, I don't know whether he had them over on another job or something, because they did help him on the farm. But on the other hand, we were all much the same age. I think my mother had 6 children under 10 years of age.
Oh, my.
And I wonder, there was like 15, there was 3 of us, me and 2 younger brothers, which were like 15 months apart. And I think, how in the world did she ever do it? I don't know. But Mother kept a very clean, neat home. Fortunately, it was a good-sized home. It was 2 stories. And
where was it?
Down on Old Joppa Road. It was 2 stories, and there were 5 bedrooms, so there wasn't any crowding. And then we had a big farm kitchen and a living room, parlor in those days they were called, and what we called a library, which was where you'd go to do your homework, with huge halls. So, you know, we never were cramped. Mm-hmm. We always had plenty of space.
Is that house still there?
Uh-huh.
Is it?
I think it's Dr. Dunn from up at the medical center.
Mm-hmm.
Lives there now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, down here. But it was a good place to raise youngsters.
It sounds like mm-hmm. it. It sounds like it.
It was.
Yeah. What kind of farming did your father do?
He was just what you'd call an ordinary dirt farmer. He grew string beans, tomatoes, cabbage. Those were the main crops. And then he would take them in town at 2 o'clock in the morning to the wholesale house, and the buyers would come mm-hmm. and get them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we had our own milk cow. We didn't ship milk. We just had our own milk cow. And we also grew chickens and sold the eggs.
Mm-hmm. Were those part of your jobs, collecting the eggs and milking the cow?
No, I never milked a cow. In fact, I think Dad always milked a cow. I don't even remember my brothers milking the cow. They did gather the eggs and things. But no, I was an inside person. My mother told Dad, you've got 6 boys to work for you. She says, my 2 girls are not going out in the fields. So we worked on the inside. Helped her keep the house clean.
And learned how to cook?
Yeah.
Was she a good cook?
Oh, yes.
She did.
But a very plain cook. We grew up really good in that respect, where there was always plenty to eat. But it was things like string beans and potatoes with a little piece of meat to flavor them, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And fried tomatoes. It wasn't anything fancy, but it was satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And it put us all on the... Of course, we had the milk and we had the eggs and chickens, and it put us all on a good road to health because all of us grew up with just no problems whatsoever.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
You know, no diabetes, just no heart trouble, no
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that is due to the good food that
probably.
We bring.
You probably.
Know, no pizzas and all this kind of stuff.
No McDonald's.
Right, no McDonald's.
No. Do you remember the first food restaurant that opened, fast food place that opened around here?
No, I don't. The only one I remember, and this really wasn't a fast food, it was more a root beer place out there on Tollgate, the corner of Tollgate where there's a Shell station now.
Mm-hmm.
I think Charlie Lutz had somebody open up a root beer, a frosty root beer or something. Now that I remember, not that I got there very often, but I do remember that. I'll tell you one thing I do remember of Bel Air, and this goes way, way back, and that's when they had the library across from the armory in a little building that had a balcony up top.
Oh.
Now, I don't know how far back this goes, but I used to love it in there. It was just very quaint, very, very attractive. And I was always starved for books because we were poor, in quotes, rich in many things, mm-hmm. but poor in money. And I never had books or magazines or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always a delight for me to go in that library and find some books to read. And that little library just really intrigued me. And then they... I guess they moved it from there into the Methodist Church down next to Harrison's, where mm-hmm. Harrison's paint store is now. And I always enjoyed going in there, and of course, that was bigger. And I remember I'd take my 2 daughters in there then, when they were little, and they would select their books, and I would select my books. And we'd come home, and we'd all read together.
That little balcony sounds like a wonderful place
for a little
kid.
It just was great.
That building's not there anymore, I assume.
No. I don't know just what's there now. Well, probably Johnson's, where Johnson's store is probably.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe before the library went in there, I have a vague recollection there could have been a little drugstore there, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I didn't go to Bel Air much when I was a youngster. My dad didn't have much business in Bel Air.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go up once in a great while, I guess, to the bank, but he didn't have much business in the bank either.
Mm-hmm. So. How did you get there? What roads were there?
Well, we would go up, you know, the mountain road was still here, 152, mm-hmm. and then on up the Bel Air Road, mm-hmm. and on up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically, the same roads that mm-hmm. we have now mm-hmm. were there.
You were talking about your mom being a good cleaner and housekeeper. Did she have a regimen and a system?
Oh, yes. You washed on Monday, and you ironed on Tuesday. I don't know what she did on Wednesday. Thursday was cleaning upstairs, Friday was cleaning downstairs, and Saturday was baking. She always baked her own bread and would make a cake or something like that, you know. And yes, she definitely had her own regimen.
And Sunday she cooked a big dinner.
No, we were not big dinner people. We were church people.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to church, and on Sundays we just had sandwiches or something informal. We didn't have big dinners on Sunday.
Hmm. Where did you go to church?
Trinity Lutheran, down on Route 7.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all there every Sunday. Short of being sick, we were in church on Sunday school.
All dressed up?
All dressed up. Yeah, you had your Sunday dress that you wore, and then you hung it up when you came home. So it always looked nice for church.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that was really a high spot of our existence, and it has carried us all in good stead today. All my brothers and my one sister are Christians, and they have always done what's right and have raised their children that way.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Did the church have many kind of social activities?
Not too many. They would have, you know, like an oyster supper in the fall, mm-hmm. and maybe a strawberry festival. And then you'd have the Sunday school picnic that we all looked forward mm-hmm. to. They'd get a truck. Many times it was our truck. And go to Fly in Point Park or someplace where you could go swimming
mm-hmm.
and take your lunch and have a nice picnic lunch then. I can remember the preacher used to always have peanuts. One time in the afternoon he'd come out with this great big bag of peanuts and he'd throw peanuts and we'd all scramble for peanuts. That was, you know, that was a delicacy in those days because we just didn't get much of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards the end of the day we'd have ice cream. Well, there again, that was a delicacy.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get ice cream. You didn't have these nickels, which was what it cost then. You didn't have these nickels to go buy ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a different generation completely
from
what we got. We were not spoiled like the youngsters are today.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess you occupied yourself. Do you remember what you did as a child besides helping your mother? The kinds of things you played?
Oh, yeah. We'd play hide-and-seek outside. Of course, there was a gang of us. And we had couple cousins lived up the road a little piece, and some boys lived down the road a little piece. Normally we played more or less by ourselves, but occasionally some of them would come in, you know, and we would play Andy over, where you throw a ball over a roof and then you come back and try to hit somebody with it. And, of course, hide and seek was a big thing. We'd play hide and seek, kick the can to kick at some particular place. And one of the other ones, I was saying something to somebody the other day and they had never heard it. It was caddy. And what you'd do, you'd take a stick that was about 6 inches long, 6-8 inches long, and you'd whittle the ends so it was pointy on the ends. And then you'd take a long stick and your goal was to flip that thing by hitting the end to a certain spot.
Oh.
Which was an easy thing. I mean, everybody had sticks around. It was an easy game to play. And marbles. Marbles or hoodles, my brother used to call them.
Mm-hmm.
In the spring, you always played marbles. I had my one brother who was killed in the war. Would always come home from school. You know, they played for him, they played for keeps. And he'd always come home with his pockets full of marbles. And we used to play marbles a lot. And in the spring, the girls always played hopscotch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of the boys would join, too. And you drew your hopscotch thing, and we'd play hopscotch. Of course, that was a big game we played in school, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In the spring, you always knew when it was spring. Boys were playing marbles, and the girls were playing hopscotch. So that was enjoyable.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. Kids today wouldn't know what to do with marbles, would they?
No, I guess they wouldn't.
Mm-mm.
And you know, none of those games cost anything.
That's true.
They were all free games.
Mm-hmm.
London Bridge, I can remember playing London Bridge in school. I can remember that to this day.
Jump rope. Jump rope.
Jump rope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember all those. And all of them, very few props.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we're going to have a Sunday school picnic over my Methodist church here Sunday. And we're going to concentrate on the old-fashioned games for the youngsters.
Be fun.
We thought it would give them something to do and
uh-huh.
show them how we used to, what we used to play.
Uh-huh.
So.
Uh-huh. Well, that'll be fun.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Kids today don't have the kind of imagination.
No. No. I mean, I used to play with paper dolls a lot. Of course, mm-hmm. I had my doll babies. I would play with those, too.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughters, I can remember them playing with their dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And their paper dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And children, yeah, as you say, they just don't sit and do things like that.
No, no.
And it is a shame because the imagination, you know, their imaginations are part of, mm-hmm. of growing up, really.
And that's your memories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be able to pick up a book and go read somewhere mm-hmm. and sit there for an hour or mm-hmm. two and read.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember your favorite books as a child?
Yes. Marjorie's Vacation. I don't know who it was written by. Somehow it came into my hands. The first couple pages were missing, but it was the only book I had. And I read that book, I bet I read that book 1,000 times.
Where did Marjorie go on her vacation?
They built a tree house for her, if I remember, and she played in this tree house.
Did you want a tree house then?
No, not particularly. But I do remember that. And I've never looked in the library to see if I could find it. One of my favorite books in school that I read again and again was A Secret Garden. And that's the one that they've made into mm-hmm. a movie lately.
Have you seen it?
I saw it on TV. I saw it on TV. And it was good. It wasn't quite as good as I remembered the book being, you know. Because when you read a book, you put your own pictures mm-hmm. in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think books are always better than seeing the movie.
I do too.
I've seen some movies I've been real disappointed in because they didn't seem to have the depth mm-hmm. that a book would have.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm usually disappointed too.
Yeah.
But
I won't usually make a point to go see the mm-hmm. movie really because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I find it disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did your parents give you a lot of encouragement with reading? They must have.
No.
Oh, really?
No.
How am
I? I just was a reader, I guess.
How about your brothers and sisters?
None of them read like I did.
Hmm. Uh-uh. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, none of them did.
Huh.
Of course, they were all, particularly the boys, you know, they were always on the go. Boys could, you know, they'd go up the road or down mm-hmm. the road and things like that. Well, we girls, of course, could not do that. Mm-hmm. And they could hike gate and get together a couple guys and go over the swimming hole, things mm-hmm. like that. Well, girls didn't do things mm-hmm. like that. So we were brought up a little different, the boys mm-hmm. and the girls.
When were you allowed to go out on a date?
Well, I was almost 16. And I wouldn't have wanted to go before.
Right.
And I don't think my parents would have allowed me to go before. Mm-hmm. Because none of us did. That was mm-hmm. about the time we started dating mm-hmm. those days.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of places did you go then?
The movies. That was the only place to go. 35 cents for a ticket.
Oh, my.
35 cents for a ticket.
Wow. Did you get married at Trinity Church?
Uh-huh.
Did you?
Uh-huh. My husband and I dated for a little better than 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And then we married.
Uh-huh. And you had how many children? Four?
Just two. No,
two.
We just had two.
Two children? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Are they both around here?
One lives down in Columbia, and the other one lives up off of Claremont Mill Road.
Oh.
Pallsville.
That's not too far.
No, they're not
too
far.
That's not too far. They can come help you weed.
Oh, no.
Do they have gardens?
No. The older girl has some garden, and she's starting to put in more flowers now. She works down at the health care facility, you know, like mm-hmm. with Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a little farm of 10 acres. And They have horses and they have cows
mm-hmm.
and goats and cats. And she keeps the pasture cut and, you know, uses a weed eater a lot and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's taken a lot of her time with her husband working and mm-hmm. her working too.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like she works all the time.
Yeah.
But this year she's starting to plant a few flowers here and there. But the storm we had the other night, that I understand we didn't get any rain here. But they had a terrific storm up there at Pallsville.
Oh, really? No, we didn't get any either.
It hailed. She said, just cut the geraniums right to pieces.
Huh.
Only about a half an hour.
Well.
But she said it was terrible.
No, we didn't have that either.
No.
We sure could use some rain.
Indeed, we should. Well, I don't know how much good it did, because when it comes down that fast, it runs off quick.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do a whole lot of good.
Mm. Well, do you remember any exciting things that happened in Harford County?
I remember the time when Rap Brown's cohorts wanted to blow up the courthouse.
Oh, I don't know that story.
And, well, they were to have a trial for Rap Brown in Bel Air. And, like, one day.
Mm-hmm.
And they had blown up or tried to blow up the courthouse down at Easton. Somehow or other, the authorities knew that they were going to try the same thing in Bel Air.
Mm-hmm.
And so this night, they were on the look for him.
Mm-hmm.
And this night, apparently, the police were too thick in their cars and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And they went down, they were coming down Route 1, two black men coming down Route 1, and the car blew up right at Tollgate Road.
Oh my.
And there was what was called a tollgate house there,
mm-hmm.
which went back when it was a toll mm-hmm. road, and it blew that house up with
mm-hmm.
them. And my husband received a telephone call. This was like, I don't know, 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And we received a telephone call, and it was a Far headquarters, or Bel Air Far Company, saying, come in. And when he left here, he said, something's happened. They wouldn't call me if something hadn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they did tell him, come around the bypass.
Hmm.
So Route 1 was blocked, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So he went around the bypass, and that's what had happened.
Hmm.
And of course, the joke was, now let's see, well, how did that joke said, I think these two fellows, the joke was the two fellows, one thought he said how, and the other guy thought he said now. he let it go. But apparently, you know, they figured that if there hadn't been a lot of policemen in town patrolling, that they would have gotten the courthouse.
Hmm.
But they
Did you have your business at that time? In Bel Air?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you weren't that far from mm-hmm. the courthouse,
no.
were you?
Mm. No.
Mm. Mm. Wow. Well, that sounds like enough excitement for one town.
That was a lot of excitement, yeah. I'll tell you.
Yeah. Do you remember the racetrack in Bel Air?
Oh, yes, very well.
Did you go many times?
No, I never went. I would only go when the fair, when we had the fair there.
Mm-hmm.
The fair. But I remember the beautiful, huge oak tree that was out in the middle of the racetrack. And when they had the races, the Far Bel Air ambulance was always down there. And George would go down sometimes and sit there with the ambulance under that huge oak tree.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the fellows used to all kind of look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of exciting for them.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the Ma and Pa Railroad?
Just vaguely, because I was not a railroad person.
Mm-hmm.
And I never used it or anything, and it was kind of on the other end
mm-hmm.
and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember when they quit it, but it was probably about the time that we were getting involved in town,
mm-hmm.
I would think.
Mm-hmm. Did you see many people, well, maybe you were too young then, it would probably have been your parents, but did the Depression hit Harford County very hard?
Well, I know, you know, I remember hearing about the Depression and knowing we were in a Depression. It seemed like somehow the Depression and the heat go together with me. yes, I can remember my dad taking produce to Baltimore. And he would come back and he'd only get 10 cents for a bushel of tomatoes or a bushel of beans or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd pay him more than that to have it picked. And those were very, very slim times, very depressing times.
I'm sure.
But fortunately, in that we had the farm, we canned, I mean, Mother would can just hundreds and hundreds of quarts of beans
mm-hmm.
and tomatoes, and we'd have our potatoes and apples,
mm-hmm.
and we'd have all that in the basement. So here again, we never suffered from lack of food.
Yeah, it had to be easier being a farm
mm-hmm.
family,
yes,
I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have an aunt that used to live up on the corner. And then she moved to Florida. And she made the remark when she was up here visiting one time that people there from cities and so forth would
mm-hmm.
talk about the Depression and how hard it was. And they said, well, Mrs. Gross, I don't hear you saying anything about the Depression. She said, no. She says, we lived in the country and we had our garden And she said, so it really didn't hurt us as mm-hmm. such. And, you know, you didn't have any social life anyway, so mm-hmm. that you didn't spend money on needless right. things.
Right.
You had very few clothes, so that wasn't a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing was, as long as you had some food.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, mm-hmm. we always did.
Yeah. Did your mom make your clothes?
A few. Not 100%. But we used to get the Sears Roebuck catalog, and you'd shop in there, and I can remember buying a dress for 69 cents.
Oh, really?
A couple little cotton dresses, and that's what I'd wear to school.
Mm-hmm.
I might not have been the best dressed person, but I was clean, and
uh-huh.
that's what Mother would say. You mm-hmm. know, you can be clean, and also you won't have holes,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way it would go.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to walk to school?
Yeah, we walked about 2 miles down to Route 7 mm-hmm. and picked the bus up that went up to Post Road.
Mm-hmm.
And
then where did you go to high school, in Bel Air?
No, Post Road had a high school.
Oh, did they?
We had 11 grades in school at that time.
Oh, my.
And we had 7 grades elementary and then 4 grades in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that building has since been torn down.
Mm-hmm.
But we went to high school and we got a very good education. I think we all did.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly learned how to read and write and smell. And even my brothers, the one in particular that didn't want to go to school, he still learned, although he didn't graduate.
Uh-huh.
And but he learned, you know, he learned how to figure, and because he became a plumber and did his own work and, mm-hmm. you know, his own business and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And we had good teachers. Mr. High, Lewis F. High, was our principal the whole time we went. He died just a few years ago.
Did you have a favorite teacher?
Not really. Mrs. Lee Irwin. She's Cornelius Cronin now, Mrs. Cornelius Cronin. Mm-hmm. She was a good teacher. She taught me English. And Mrs. Annie Nelson. She taught us probably history and, I can't think of what else. But she's still living up on Route 152. And my brother ran into her the other day. I think she said she was 86.
Oh, my.
And just a fine woman.
Mm-hmm.
She always comes to our school reunions and
thoroughly
enjoys them.
Isn't that fun?
And the boys always enjoyed teasing her.
Mm-hmm.
But they learned, and that was the important thing. Mm-hmm. Our teachers did teach us well, mm-hmm. I think all of them.
I'm sure that the kids were afraid not to do what they were mm-hmm. told, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we realized the importance of school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you didn't, you know, what else are you going to do?
Well, do you remember what impact the Second World War had on the area?
Oh, yes. All of our young men went. I had 5 brothers, and one of them was killed in Japan.
Oh, really?
Was shot down.
Mm.
He was on his second air mission, and he was shot. And it was towards the end of the war. He was missing June the 5th. And we found out later that July the 6th, they took him out and executed him.
Oh, how horrible.
Yeah, no. Talk about, you know, the pictures of D-Day on television. I said, no, I won't even watch them.
Mm-hmm.
It's too hard.
Mm-hmm.
He was just 2 years older than I.
Mm. Well, it had to be, it must have looked strange around here. There must have been no young men, or very few young men.
Weren't. But on the other hand, you see, you didn't go out much. In other words, you went to your place of employment,
mm-hmm.
and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you'd go someplace and look around and say, gee, there's no mm-hmm. men here, because you just didn't go that much.
Mm-hmm.
At least I did, and I don't know other people
mm-hmm.
probably have different perspectives on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we knew everybody around here that went, and everybody knew what everybody else was doing. You know, they'd get mm-hmm. a letter, and they'd share it with everybody. We'd all
mm-hmm.
Share letters with each other, and mm-hmm. you know where your particular husband or brother or mm-hmm. somebody was.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we had to ration. There again, that didn't really faze me. Meat was hard to get, sugar, what else? Those 2 things, shoes. But all those were minor things, you know, mm-hmm. as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm. Did your father have trouble getting help with the farm?
No, he was, he didn't use help on the farm. He didn't use help. Actually, now let me see. At that time, the war was in 41, at that time he had sold a farm. He sold a farm and 39, because each of the boys said, "Dad, we're not going to be farmers." And he knew, you know, at his age, he was getting to be, he couldn't. Mm-hmm. So he had developed two small businesses working out of the farm. One was selling automobile insurance, which at that time was Farm Bureau, which turned into Nationwide. He was one of the first agents in the state of Maryland to do that, and was to put some extra income. I think he started probably back in 1932, you see, during the Depression, when things were hard. And he also would go to town every week and bring home a load of feed. Well, in those days, everybody had a had chickens and a cow and maybe a pig in the backyard, and they'd want a bag of feed. And so Dad was selling feed and...
Oh, what a good idea.
And the insurance. So when the boys all said that they weren't coming on the farm, he decided to go down on Route 40. He bought a piece of ground down there, and he built, literally built his own building down there. Sawed the wood out of the woods on our place and had it sawed. And he and the boys built this warehouse, what we called the warehouse. So he was able to sell his feed from there and his insurance. And of course, being out there on the highway, then he had a lot more business. And he developed a very good business there with that.
And that's the same building now, isn't it?
Well,
it's got an addition?
Yeah, they they put an addition on it and fixed it up a little bit. And then my dad moved down there into the stone house. He built the house too. And he moved down there into the stone house next to the business. And then when my brothers came back from the war, they were just starting, you know, the business and so forth. As they came back from the war, they each developed a facet of the business. One brother took over the plumbing and selling pumps, which my dad did during the war. And then the other one got the idea of, let's go into some lumber, because everybody is building. They're building this and building that. We didn't have zoning rules and all that. And so the other one zeroed in on the lumber part. And both of them were very successful with that. And until 84 lumber came down the road, and then they kind of phased it out. And then the one that was in the lumber went into the heating and air conditioning part of it. So, and then the youngest brother, who didn't go to the war, he was too young, he did the hardware part inside and stayed in there. So the three boys worked with my dad.
That's nice.
Until they retired.
You were talking about your father selling car insurance. Do you remember your first family car?
No, really. I remember a Model T. Because I can remember him seeing him go crank the thing and never know where it was going to stop start. And I remember, I guess you would call it a touring car in those days. And it had didn't have side, you know, windows on it. But then you'd put, if the weather was bad, you'd put what they called isinglass windows up on the side. I can remember that. Those are the only two I really remember.
Did your mother drive?
Oh, yes. She was one of the first women around here to drive.
Did your father teach her? Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember him teaching her. But she made quite a name for herself among neighbors. I had one neighbor tell me years later, says, "I remember your mother says she used to drive a car, and she'd take the truck out in the field so she could help your father. And, you know, like if he was throwing beans or something on the truck, she would drive the truck." This is when the kids were still too little to do this. And she would drive the truck while he threw the produce on the truck. She was one of the first ones to drive.
Well. Were your grandparents farmers also?
Dad's father came from Sweden and lived down on Route 7, which was Route 40 at that time. And they had a little dirt farm down there where they really, I would say, eked out an existence for the family of 10. They were a family of 10. But grandfather also was a shoe cobbler, and he would make, but particularly repair shoes. And I can always see him sitting at the bench, you know, with his hammer and his tap, tap, tap in a corner of the living room, or whatever the room they called that, with his shoe kit. Not shoe kit, because he had a great big bench and everything. And that's really what he made his money on.
How did they end up here from Sweden?
Apparently there wasn't any, I don't know why people come from Sweden. There was no future there, probably. And So he came over on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, that he was so sick on the first trip, they made him go back. He was working his way over, see?
Mm-hmm.
And he was so sick on the first trip, they made him go back and come over the second time. Now, he was only 16 years old, see, so he was very, very young.
Mm-hmm. Did your grandmother come with him?
No. No, she came from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
She was from another family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the story goes that her mother died, and she had an aunt living down on Magnolia Road who took her and raised her,
mm-hmm.
and somehow or other.
Mm-hmm.
They probably were both Lutherans, and they probably got together to Lutheran church.
Right. Oh, my. Well, that's fun. Mm-hmm. That's fun. I read in somewhere in your thing, they were talking about snow, that you remember, you probably remember saying this. Snow drifts that were higher than tops of fence posts and sleds going over the
I can remember that and when it was, but I was a little, must have been a real little girl, and probably we were going to church because that's the only place you went.
Mm-hmm.
Probably was church. And I can remember being in a sleigh and going over the fence tops in the sleigh.
Did your family have a sled?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And a horse that pulled it?
Oh, yeah. Well, we had a couple horses, see, because mm-hmm. Dad always had horses for the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And I can remember. So there was must have been a lot of snow in the 20s. I don't know. We'd have to go back and look in the almanacs and so
mm-hmm.
forth. But I do remember that.
Hmm.
It's, it does stick in my mind.
Do you remember summers this hot?
Yeah, as I say, I can remember laying under that tree and wondering when it would ever cool off. The best place to go was down the spring house. We didn't have refrigeration then,
mm-hmm.
and we were off the beach. And the water ran through a sluice into another little room, and it was concrete, and you set your crocks with your milk and cream and things down in that water, and the cold water ran mm. through there, and that refrigerated.
Mm.
If you got a watermelon, you threw the watermelon in the spring, and that in a day or two you had a nice whole watermelon.
Oh, yeah.
And that was cool because it was built partly into the ground, and of course the spring running through there all the time, the cold water running
mm-hmm.
through there all the time. It was like our basements are today,
mm-hmm.
you know how cool
mm-hmm.
they are.
Uh-huh. Were there any creeks around that you could go swimming in, or any swimming holes?
We went swimming in the Gunpowder over on Franklinville Road,
mm-hmm.
off that big bridge.
Oh.
That's where we'd go swimming. We'd walk across the back fields
mm-hmm.
from our farm.
Mm-hmm.
The only trouble was, it was fine when you were swimming, but by the time you walked back home again, you were hot. And there was a certain spot there that the flies used to like to eat you up. I can still remember that. Sometimes you wondered if it was worth it.
Somebody told me, and I don't know if this was around in Belia, that there was a circus that used to quarter in Havre de Grace in the winters, and they thought that there were a lot of circuses that came through Belair. Do you ever remember that? Like traveling circuses?
I can remember them, not when I was little. I remember them in my young married life. They would set up at the fairgrounds
mm-hmm.
or out at Del Haven, it seems to me, out there somewhere.
Hmm.
In a field, Irwin's Field out there probably
mm-hmm.
they set up. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't been too many years ago,
mm-hmm.
really. Too
mm-hmm.
many years ago.
Somebody else was telling me that they remember gypsies in the area. And as children, they were warned against the
yeah.
gypsies. Do you remember that?
Yes, I think whether that was a prejudice or whether it was really
yeah.
a true thing, I don't know. But there was a thing that the gypsies would steal children.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know where that would start, you know. I just don't
yeah.
know.
No, I'd heard that. Do you remember any other stories or folk tales that about ghosts or anything like that in the area that people used to tell?
Well, there's a ghost on Ha Ha Branch. I think that was supposed to have been a headless ghost that's down on Route 7. And you'll see that written up ever so often. One other thing I do remember, though, I remember a lot of hobos, what we'd call hobos. And I guess here again, this must have been during the Depression. You'd see them walking up Route 7 in
mm-hmm.
particular, the state with that highway,
mm-hmm.
and they would have a stick over their shoulder with their pack
mm-hmm.
and all wrapped up, and that was all that they owned.
No.
And you'd also hear of them riding on the trains,
mm-hmm.
you know, hopping
mm-hmm.
freight trains.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd see them there on Route 7 every so often.
Did they ever stop at your farm looking for work or food?
We had one man do it. course, now we were off the beaten track. Mm-hmm. And how he ever came up to our farm, I don't know. But I was probably late elementary school. And this, I can even remember the man's name, Park Watson. And he stopped and wanted to know if Dad had some work. Well, there was a meeting somewhere, overnight or something, and my mother wanted to go. And it probably had something to do with the Farm Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
And mother wanted to go, and Dad said he couldn't go because he had this work to do. He had this plowing to get done or something. And when this man came, mother said, now you can hire him and let him do the work, and you and I can go. And that's what happened. And he stayed with Dad for a couple weeks, I think,
uh-huh.
and helped him out.
Uh-huh.
But that's the only so-called hard man that I really remember having. But then I think, well, it seems like there were a couple black men he had from time to time. But I don't think they were going through. I think maybe he had hired them.
Mm-hmm. Were there many black families around this area?
We had one down here on the Clayton Road,
mm-hmm.
Singer Road. It's at Singer Road. Mm-hmm. There's a group in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another group down Denbytown. Well, they're still mm-hmm. down there at Denbytown. Mm-hmm. Those were the only two that I knew of. I think they're son in Belair, but mm-hmm. we didn't go into Belair much. So mm-hmm. those were the only two, and mm-hmm. fine people.
Mm-hmm. Did they have their own school around here, or did they go to
Belair? Yeah, no, there was a school. There's a school, a black school down on Singer Road, which is one of the first of the whole area. In
yeah.
fact, they're trying to preserve that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there probably was another black one down at Demitown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then in later years, they had the Central Consolidated mm-hmm. up in, well, there's a black school in Belair
mm-hmm.
on Hayes Street, I think. And then they had Central Consolidated out there on,
mm-hmm.
I guess that was a high school at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that.
Well, if your parents were to come back to this area today, would they notice much difference?
Not if they'd stay right here. But if they drive around into Belair, my dad wouldn't be able to get over it. But, you know, Route 40, right where he was, mm-hmm. is ultimately the same. It's not a whole lot of changes there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this area here, because of the big farm across the road,
mm-hmm.
there's not much in change. And there won't be. That has been put into historic trust.
Oh, has it? Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So they won't change that.
That's good. What farm is this? Who owns this farm?
It's Alney. Dr. William Howard. Owns it.
Mm-hmm.
His mother just died here last August,
mm-hmm.
and then his stepfather, who'd been over there for 35 years,
mm-hmm.
he died February or March, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So both the old folks are gone, which means a big change, a big void. They've been there all my life, you know.
Yeah.
She was 84, I think, and he was 89. And you grow up with people, and they're just great people, and
yeah.
you just hate to see them go.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they enjoyed your flowers.
Oh, yes. Yes, she did. Mrs. Rogers always enjoyed them very much.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody, I notice you're also in front of the church, does anybody ever offer help with the flowers?
Well, they say, you know, if you need it, I'll come, but I can't ask anybody. It's hard work.
Yeah, it is hard.
But I'll tell you what the neighbors did do. For me, and particularly the Little Gunpowder Improvement Association, which I belong to, it's organized in this area. 3 years ago, I came down with cancer, and not one, but two cancers,
mm-hmm.
and I had operations, two operations mm-hmm. a month apart. And my neighbors said, well, you know, we cannot let these flowers grow up in weeds while let Mary Eva sit over there and watch the weeds grow. So several of the women did come that spring and do some weeding. They came right into my yard and weeded my flower
beds.
Nice. And Audrey Allen down here and Helen Kedwalder down the road a little piece. There's a lady up the road. And they did the trick. They you know,
mm-hmm.
kept it just enough that the weeds didn't get ahead of me. And
you must have been worried about it, weren't you?
No.
Or were you so sick that you didn't care?
I was so sick, it didn't make much difference.
Uh-huh.
And I had just lost my husband a few months before.
Oh.
And, you know, it was just rough.
It's too
going.
Much at once, yeah.
And so all I was worried about was getting well, hopefully, and
mm-hmm.
And getting my health back. I didn't want to be an invalid.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew that I had to take care of myself, because who else is going to take care of you? But I remember every time I'd go to the doctor, well, you know, can I work outside yet? Can I go in my flowers? And I can remember the day he said, oh, yes. He said, just be a little careful. He said, don't do too much. He said, but yes, you can stoop and bend now and work in your flowers. And I can remember the explanation. I'm very involved in the Methodist Church. And somebody went down the road and saw me out here on the bank. Went over to church. Hey, Mary, you was out in her flower bed. She must be feeling
they
better.
They knew her better.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? Yeah. Oh, my. Well, they're really lovely flowers. Well, this has been fun. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
I'd like you to come to my yard and do this.